Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
So Morgan is giving us, I guess, your life's history here, and we're following it step by step. You know, I'm going to say this honestly. I have never, ever been to a house that people considered haunted. I really have missed out on life, haven't I?
It's an interesting experience, but the funny thing is, depending on how you come into that space, it doesn't necessarily mean that you're going to experience anything. And I think that's some of the misnomer with a lot of this stuff, and how sometimes these cases can get labeled as hoaxes, is where a family will be having a terrible time and they will move out, and the next family will move in and there's nothing going on. So immediately it's, oh yeah, those people were faking it, or that doesn't exist, or it was in their head, or whatever. And then, you know, they'll move out and have another family move in, and then all of a sudden stuff kicks up again. So it depends really on your state of being and how you're perceiving the world. And there's a bunch of factors that go into it as to whether or not, even if it was proclaimed haunted, whether you'd experience it anyway.
Do you think some people are like, we have in ufology, we have UFO magnets, they call it, you know, people who seem to be able to summon them down. Do you think that people in the paranormal can really do that if they're open to it? Just because you're open to it also doesn't necessarily mean that you're going to have any experience either, right? Or can you? Can you invoke the spirit somehow? Is that a real thing? Or
I think there's definitely people that are a lot more open, and they've studied this through Ganzfeld experiments and things like that, as to who is more receptive to some of this phenomenon. Are there characteristics? And it turns out that there are characteristics. People who are able to actually be more receptive and have more encounters than not. It's really interesting. So the people that are more open, for example, the people that are, less closed-minded, they tend to be a little bit maybe more extroverted, things like that. There are personality traits where people have been more successful at it. And we see this demonstrated over and over again, as I say, through Ganzfeld tests and things like that, where the people that have more hits and more success with receiving imagery or something like that tend to have this line of personality traits that others just either don't, or just not willing to work on, or they don't believe it can happen anyway. So what's the point?
What is a Ganzfeld test exactly?
So Ganzfeld is pretty interesting, and it's one of the, I think, key research areas over the last number of years in many universities. And what they'll do is they have somebody sit in a room that's basically soundproof, and they put on headphones, usually to like ocean waves or something like that, something that you can kind of get lost in. They have a red light in the room. You end up looking so silly because they end up putting these half ping pong balls over your eyes. So you kind of get this weird washed out look where you're not really perceiving anything in the space, but you're seeing shadows.
Right. You're in like the white room kind of thing.
Exactly. So you're kind of in this room. But what happens is that a person in the other room will have an image or something like that that they're either focused on sending to the person that's in this soundproof room. Afterwards, the person will, you know, describe or point out an image that they think is the one that they're being sent. And the hit rate is surprisingly high. It's pretty interesting.
All right. I know what you're talking about now. Yes, I've heard of those experiments. And so what you're saying, and although I haven't read the specific research on it in depth, what you're saying is that certain personality types do better in those tests than others. Very interesting.
Exactly. And they can predict who's going to do better. It's really interesting. And typically people that have done the test prior and have done it before will continue to do well. Yeah, it's very interesting. But yeah, they've identified some very specific personality traits that seem to have really good luck with this. And of course, you know, we saw it further down the road in years ago, back in some of the government experiments and stuff like that too, with remote viewing and things like that. But the universities now are doing amazing things with things like Ganzfeld, because It's easily testable. It's easy to hold the experiment. You don't have to have some elaborate getup. And the results are fascinating.
Thing is, okay, here comes my skeptical side. We're still dealing with statistics then. I mean, they're interesting, but it's hard to think that statistics in and of themselves really prove anything, whether it be with remote viewing or anything else. It's interesting, but we really don't know what's going on, if anything, from those.
We have to look at the fact that every single person has their own perception of it, of what they're perceiving in their, what they're receiving in their environment. And that's where any of this stuff gets really, really, really tricky, because it comes down to the fact that everybody's got a filter. So it is a difficult area to study, because we're dealing with, you know, people, for example, that come in that might turn around and say, oh, yeah, you know, I'm having a great day. Everything's fine. Psychologically, you might dig into them a little bit and find out, no, they're not having a great day. You know, maybe they just lost their house, or they, you know, they're just stuffing things or whatever. And it can be really difficult, because, you know, we're still dealing with a variable factor, which is the human experience. And that's tough.
Absolutely. And it seems to be non-reproducible as well. In other words, it doesn't seem like we're in control of it. It seems like that whatever the phenomena is, and again, I do believe that these experiences are happening to people, that they're real, that they're not purely subjective, that there's some objective reality going on that is influencing the experiencer, but it seems to be what's in control rather than the experiencer themselves, unless maybe you believe in the idea that, well, okay, maybe someone will come in and they'll smudge a place and that will sort of eliminate the spirits and then they don't show up. That could be just some sort of a way of them playing along with the game. Like, we don't really know what it is. It seems like when it wants to manifest itself, it can.
Yeah, I think that's right. I think the key is, you know, we can start to learn to control what we're receiving. We can't necessarily control what's outside of ourselves. And I mean, that is in regards to anything really in life. I mean, at the end of the day, the only person that we control is us. I think we can control what it is that we're receiving, just in the same way that, you know, we can control things like, you know, how much political noise comes through our news feeds on Facebook. I think, again, where we put our attention, how careful we are about our emotional states and all of that kind of thing, we can start to at least manage what we're pulling into our experience and the experiences that we're choosing to have and continue with. You know, there's such a vast amount of occurrences out there that are just absolutely remarkable. Yeah, I mean, I don't think we're ever going to be able to turn around and say, yes, let's make that thing happen. I know the labs at UCLA, for a while, like, they were, I think, toying with the idea that, you know, they could actually manifest something in a controlled setting. And I'm not sure how far that went, but things like that. I mean, I think it's going to be a long time before we get to that level.
What do you think of the AWARE study? Are you aware of the AWARE study?
I am aware of the AWARE study.
Oh, okay. So this is, just for the audience members briefly, is where they used messages placed up on shelves above patients in operating theaters and went through literally thousands of cases, hoping to find an NDE, a near-death experiencer, who would float up out of their body and be able to accurately relay what that message was, so that there would be a direct one-to-one correlation between an objective reality and their subjective experience. And they got zero results on that particular study. They had some interesting things happen where people claimed to have had some experiences that outside that would have fallen into the purview of their program, but nobody out of all of these cases experienced being able to identify that message. What are we to take away from that, if anything?
Well, I think, first of all, everybody's near-death experiences are vastly different oftentimes. Like, sometimes they will have correlating factors, but a lot of people will perceive different things when it's happening to them. There was 140 patients that actually survived that, and that could be interviewed for the study. And it was 101 patients that actually had detailed interviews, nine of which who had a near-death experience. And two had really detailed memories of an awareness of the physical environment. And the one of those two was verified as accurate, and the other one was too sick for a full interview.
We got a break, and then we'll pick this up. Morgan Jean Randall, you're in
the Paracast. Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with Reputation Defender. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with Reputation Defender. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771. For your free reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with Reputation Defender. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771.
Do the letters IRS give you anxiety? I'm Dan Pilla. I've defended people from the IRS for more than 40 years. My book, How to Get Tax Amnesty, created the tax resolution industry and is responsible for helping hundreds of thousands of people. It can help you too. If you're a non-filer or facing IRS enforcement right now, your case is unique. You need real help, not cookie cutter advice. My clients get my personal attention. Buy my book at danpilla.com and get a free consultation directly with me. That's danpilla.com. Let's start solving your tax problem right now.
I'm Ben Utek. I played high school, college, and pro football, helping my team win the 2006 championship. It was an amazing day, but it can't compare to the joy I feel every day with my loving wife and three beautiful daughters. My football career ended after I suffered my fifth concussion. Did you know that over a million athletes suffer a concussion each year? That includes boys and girls, every age, every type, and level of sport. It isn't always clear that a player has had a concussion, so parents, athletes, and coaches need to learn about concussion signs and symptoms. The American Academy of Neurology recommends athletes thought to have a concussion be immediately removed from play and not returned until assessed by a healthcare professional trained in concussion. This isn't just about sports. It's about your brain. When in doubt, sit it out. Learn more at aan.com/concussion. That's aan.com/concussion. A message from the American Academy of Neurology.
Cancer categorizes over 100 diseases. Though we do not diagnose, treat, or cure cancer, GCN team is offering the Clemson University study where there was up to a 95% reduction in cancerous cells when exposed to a plant-derived mineral supplement. If you or a loved one are searching for answers to this horrifying disease, come to GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. We'll email you a copy for free. That's 877-878-4203.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
So, Morgan, we had to kind of interrupt you there as you were talking about all these studies and things because you know how that happens. Could you continue?
Of course. Yeah, I think it's because ultimately with the AWARE study, there was 2,060 patients that were actually involved. And it was people from all over the world. It was the UK, Austria, the US.
Oh, yeah,
all sorts.
Number of hospitals and lots of people involved. Yeah, sorry for cutting in there. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, and so people reported different things. So everything from hearing voices. One of the describing nurses and doctors who were in the room. At one point, one of the patients actually recognized a fellow that was present during his resuscitation, and he shouldn't have. There were interesting details, like one of the medical records, I know, confirmed the use of a AED, one of the external defibrillators, that would give automated instructions. And the patient reported coming back and hearing that automated voice, and he had no way of knowing that. So there were other things that they identified that were really interesting, but a lot of them didn't necessarily... They oftentimes occurred in sort of a non-acute area of the hospital. So a lot of the analysis of it wasn't really as possible as what they thought they were. So I think there was like a number of things about the AWARE experiment that, you know, they just, I don't think necessarily took into consideration, you know, where the NDE is going to happen. Some people report having an NDE and they're back at their home. For instance. So I think there's so many factors to something like that. It's really hard to turn around and nail it down with such, you know, narrow parameters in terms of a study. It's tough.
I think that's a good study, though, in terms of somebody actually trying to get one-to-one objective-subjective verification correlation. Because, you know, the sort of really sort of hard science-y skeptical side of me says that's what we really need. We need that level of study, I think there was quite a few hospitals. I don't have all the stats in front of me, but I mean, multiple hospitals, thousands of patients, and doctors being open-minded enough to try this. I think it's really, really a step in the right direction.
Very much so. And the more we do this, and the more we are able to study things like this, the more factors, sometimes the more questions end up coming out of it, like in this case. But I mean, without those new questions, we can't move forward. So, you know, regardless of, you know, how the study starts or ends or anything like that, I think being able to ask those new questions out of it is just the next level of how we become more aware of what's going on and what goes on with the mind, what goes on with the brain. Is the mind emergent or fundamental to start with? There's so many questions with this. And I think the more studies we have, like the AWARE study, you know, the closer we're going to get to at least having a glimpse as to what's going on.
Well, it's so progressive because it's, like you were saying, it's open-minded for starters. Years ago, like you were saying, people would think, well, you know, what? That's just something crazy. It's not worth our time. To get some hospital administration to be able to even agree with it probably would have been really difficult. Now, though, I mean, if it's opening up, I think it's just positive that we can now explore this in a more open and meaningful way, in an objective way, where it matters, with real doctors, real scientists, people who can be taken seriously if something does happen.
Oh, definitely. And when the doctors, interestingly, are, you know, when they're more open-minded to this stuff going on, well, the one thing I've learned about working on the show Haunted Hospitals is the fact that there are so many physicians and nurses and, you know, just people that work in a hospital that have these unbelievable experiences with their patients and with the hospital environments and things like that, that oftentimes they're the ones that have these, you know, this critical information, because, you know, they show up to work, you know, their only dog in the fight is helping the person that's in front of them. You know, they're not going there to have a paranormal experience. They don't go there to, you know, experience something that they don't think could happen. They're just going there and they're plugged into their job. And then when something goes on and something happens, you know, they really have to take a step back and start to either, you know, question what their own belief system is, or, you know, learn to come at this from a new perspective. And I think we're seeing more and more these hospitals realizing that it's like, wait a minute, you know, we have to be able to accommodate, you know, more viewpoints and, you know, rather than just shutting these people down or, you know, pumping them full of medication, thinking they're all nuts.
Oh, absolutely. And that was a great segue into Haunted Hospitals, by the way, which I think we should talk a little bit more about. It's a television program, and I believe, can you tell us a bit about your experience with them and the people who were producing it?
It's a fun show to be a part of because, you know, I work with, there's a few other people that I guess, experts or whichever you want to call them on the show and whatever. And everybody's got a different viewpoint and a different perspective on this phenomenon, which is cool. So people like Richard Estep, Chris Brewer, Marquise, and myself, and we all kind of come in and talk a little bit about each case and from our own viewpoints. And it's really neat because the doctors and the nurses that come forward and patients, they want to be able to tell their story and they want to give their story a voice. And one of the most difficult things about the show is for the producers is making people feel safe enough to come forward to tell their story, because there is still such a stigma in the medical community that, say, for example, you know, okay, I'm going to come forward and, you know, my boss at the hospital is going to fire me because they think I'm mentally ill or something like that. And it's a tough show to, I think, to gather stories for the producers, but they do a really good job. And I think it's opening up some conversation about, you know, the medical field and where this stuff has a place there.
You're also involved with Paranormal 911. Can you tell our audience a bit about that and the people you work with there and the type of things that you look into?
Yeah, and the Paranormal 911 is actually the same crew. And but instead of dealing with cases in hospitals, we're dealing with first responders. So everything from firefighters, ambulances, ambulance attendants, SWAT teams, all sorts of first responder cases. And it's really interesting because what I find so compelling about the Paranormal 911 specifically is that people get, you know, these first responders get called in. The only thing they're told is, you know, this person's having a heart attack, or, you know, there's a bomb in a mall, or, you know, so they're going in completely centered on that one task and they're not expecting anything else to happen. That's all they care about. That's all they're focused on. And so when something goes on with them and they come forward and say, hey, this happened during a case, you know, it's really difficult for anybody to turn around and say, you know, oh, they're making it up, or, you know, oh, it's for attention or something like this. It's like, no, these people are literally, their only dog in the fight is to come and to save the person that they're dealing with. And then they come forward with some of these amazing stories.
We're going to have more amazing stories. By the way, that's the name of a TV show from Apple TV Plus. It's a remake of the original Steven Spielberg anthology series from the 80s. Listen, you raised it. I added Morgan Knudsen, Gene Steinberg, J. Randall Murphy. You're in the Paracast.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
With more people listening to radio than visit Google, Facebook, or YouTube, from the very young to the very old, everyone listens to radio. Pillow companies, alarm, identity theft, nutrition, insurance, banking, automotive, the list goes on and on. Billion-dollar businesses, why? The answer is radio, the media everyone tunes into. Find out how effective and affordable radio can be for your business. Contact 877-996-4327 or advertise at gcnlive.com.
Do you feel like many of us? All the distractions in the world taking our minds and focus off what really needs to get done day to day? Well, Jeunesse has a dietary supplement called Mind to help with mental distraction, and it supports memory function. Go to gcnlife.com now to check it out. You're only at your best when your mind is at its best. Go to gcnlife.com or call toll-free 844-443-6637. That's GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
The number of coronavirus cases continues to rise in the United States, along with the people that have died. Washington State is reporting two more fatalities on Saturday, bringing the death toll to 19 nationwide. Health officials in Florida confirmed two deaths late Friday, with nearly 400 cases now reported in the United States. All that being said, Dr. Drew Pinsky tells Fox News, we do just need to calm down.
The panic is far worse than the virus. Let the professionals whose job it is to contain pandemic do their job. They're doing an amazing job. Worldwide, the efforts and the effect of the organizations like the CDC and the WHO has been remarkable.
Former Vice President Joe Biden and Vermont Senator Bernie Sanders are busy campaigning this weekend as hundreds of delegates are on the line in Tuesday's primary elections. And you're listening to USA Radio News.
Got an old car? You can donate it, whether it's running or not, to the United Breast Cancer Foundation and save a life. They'll even come and pick it up for free. The United Breast Cancer Foundation has saved hundreds of women's lives through their free or low-cost breast screen exams. But now they need your help. The United Breast Cancer Foundation wants to save more lives through early detection by offering women free or low-cost breast screening exams. And donating your old car, SUV, or truck, whether it's running or not, helps pay for them. Plus, you get a charitable tax deduction. Help the United Breast Cancer Foundation save lives by donating your old car, SUV, or truck. Call now for free pickup. 800-280-2144. 800-280-2144. 800-280-2144. Call right now. That number again is 800-280-2144.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of MyPillow. And like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented MyPillow, I wanted it to where you could move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. MyPillow will get you into that deep REM sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry my pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of my pillows and get one absolutely free.
Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-870-0305 and use promo code GCN. That's MyPillow.com or 800-870-0305 with promo code GCN.
My name is Richard Dolan. You're listening to the Paracast.
So after this, Morgan, I should try to avoid hospitals at all costs. And I should, if something happens, I call you and tell you.
Don't put me on the spot, why don't you? It's funny, though, you know, like a lot of doctors and nurses, you know, the ones that don't have the experiences, They're at least emotionally tied into these places. And I think, whenever we get a place that has this sort of high range of human emotion, oftentimes we'll get that paranormal phenomenon that comes with it. You know, we often think of these haunted places being these abandoned buildings and things like that. And that's just not always the case. Usually when we get a area of high activity or high emotional activity specifically, you know, we end up with some interesting phenomenon going on there and, haunted. Hospitals are just a good example of it.
Can you tell us about some of the, say, maybe the best cases?
Yeah, there's been some amazing ones. I think probably one of the most recent that was on this season of Paranormal 911, and one that was, it was very impactful for me to hear about, was it was a paramedic team got called in. A fellow had a heart attack, he was sick with cancer. He was passing away. And he had a DNR, do not resuscitate. And when the paramedics came in, the wife was so distraught, she couldn't find the DNR. And without that do not resuscitate, without that piece of paper, the paramedics are absolutely obligated to save that person. It doesn't matter what condition they're in, they have to save that person legally. And the wife was just, you know, she was a mess, and she was, I know I have this piece of paper, you know, you can't resuscitate him, you know, he's been suffering for so long. So anyway, she's hunting around trying to find it. And as the one paramedic, she steps down to, you know, to resuscitate him, give him CPR and whatnot. She starts feeling this tug on her, and she starts hearing somebody in the space with her basically telling her to get off of him. And she starts to actually see this person in the space. She doesn't feel like anybody else is seeing him, And she starts to distinctly hear somebody saying, basically, get the F off of me. Stop it. And she starts to realize that maybe what she's hearing is this guy. And he's left his body at this point, but he's still in the space. And he's getting more angry and more angry, just trying to get her to stop. And then finally she comes forward, where this entity seems to come forward and say something about a drawer, something about a kitchen drawer. And the paramedic says, check the kitchen. And the wife goes and turns out, lo and behold, this DNR is sitting in this kitchen drawer. And the entity and whatnot seems to disappear at that point. And, you know, the fellow passed away and she was able to aid him in passing away. But it was a really interesting case. So that was definitely on my highlight reel for this year.
Oh, no doubt. How are we supposed to explain that one necessarily?
Well, and it brings up, you know, so many different questions. I mean, there's been a lot of cases like that. There was one last season that I thought was just so brilliant. It was two firefighters that had come onto a scene, a house that was kind of tucked in a wooded area, and first responders had gotten a call from the husband, and the husband said, you know, my wife is having a heart attack, I need you to come here. So they show up, and it looked like nobody was home. They walk into the house and they see the husband, and he's sitting on his chair and he's not really saying too much. And he said, you know, she's upstairs. So they go upstairs and the wife is sitting on the edge of the bed and she's looking terrible. She's gray and, you know, she's definitely in heart problems and whatnot. So they start, you know, asking her questions, keeping her going, and they're talking with her. And who shows up, of course, but another backup ambulance. The ambulance comes and this fellow comes out to the front yard and says, you know, the paramedics are here, they're upstairs. So the other two are waiting outside, waiting to receive this patient, whatever, and they see him go back in the house. And when they're talking to this woman, they say, you know what, your husband's downstairs, let's get you to the ambulance. And she looks at them and goes, what are you talking about? And lo and behold, it turned out her husband had died the previous week. He just wasn't there. They had literally about 2 to 3 witnesses that saw this guy and had interactions with him. And someone called the paramedics. She didn't pick up the phone. So it was absolutely, it was a beautiful story.
Wow. How do we explain something like that, though? I mean, for a telephone system to work, that's a mechanical device. It requires electricity. It requires pushing buttons. Sound requires movement to activate the diaphragm in the receiver. It's all, if something is going on, it has to be physical. In other words, it's not something that's some spooky thing that's in another dimension. It's in this one affecting the real world.
Absolutely. And my friend, a colleague, Dr. Cal Cooper from the University of Northampton, he's actually spent a good chunk of his career studying the phone call phenomenon documenting these cases about these sort of ghost phone calls and paranormal 911 and things like that. I've heard that it just happens way more frequently than what we think.
Yeah, I think I'm not sure if it is the same guy, but there's a book out, it's called Phone Calls from the Dead.
Yeah,
same guy. Okay, yeah. I mean, here we go. We have these cases that are just, they happen. I mean, or maybe I'm just gullible. You know, maybe these people are just making it up. Do you interview people that were also there? Are there witnesses that can, you know, corroborate the story? And like, or are we just dealing with folk tales? Like, how much of it is really investigated on an investigative reporting kind of level, do you think?
Well, I think with the 911 calls, it becomes a little, in some ways it's trickier and in some ways it's a little better, because the 911 calls, you've got multiple points of contact. So, for example, you know, you've got the dispatcher who took the call, and then you've got the two paramedics that have come in that are, you know, unbiased witnesses, because they're just looking to help the woman having a heart attack, you know, and they witnessed it. And then you've got the people that were outside, the first responders outside, who then talked to this seemingly entity on the front lawn. With these cases, it's great because there's lots of points of contact. The only problem is that, you know, they're there to help that person who's in trouble. So, you know, they're not going back to look into it, because half the time I don't think they realize what's actually happened until long after it's done. I mean, their priority is to get that woman to the hospital before she, you know, goes into complete cardiac arrest.
But what I'm saying is, like, has someone actually gone to the police department where the 911 call was taken in and got the recording and verified that it happened so that we can hear that it happened?
It does happen in some cases where, you know, people will go back on it and do some of the homework. But unfortunately, it's not that often. And it's the same question that I get with security cameras, too, is immediately people say, well, you know, what about the security tapes in some of these buildings? Well, half the time with these damn security cameras, you know, within 24 hours, they tape over themselves. You know, and nobody thinks to go back and get the security footage. So it can be a really frustrating problem. People just, they're so wound up in the experience, then that's where their interest sort of, I guess, stops.
Right. And don't get me wrong here. You know, we have to ask these kinds of questions because otherwise, as I've mentioned on other shows, people aren't going to take us seriously either. You know, we have to ask them. And but personally, I have had experiences that I cannot explain that are along these lines, and I'm a believer. But at the same time, I don't think that we can just believe every case. There's got to be a healthy folklore side to it, don't you think? I mean, how much is real and how much isn't, do you think?
Well, that's a big question because, you know, I think at that point we kind of have to define what real is. The current situation with television and entertainment, things like that, with some of these shows makes it very difficult. How do these shows present an interesting program for the audience consistently with the phenomenon that only exists when it feels like it?
Hey, Morgan, Gene Randall, you're in the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
Do you need a website? Well, you can get a great deal on hosting services with Namecheap's legendary coupon code. They're offering substantial hosting discounts on shared hosting, business hosting, VPS hosting, reseller hosting, and even dedicated servers. Namecheap is preferred by millions. It's backed by a money-back guarantee. Use the coupon code LEGENDARY to cash in on the special deal at Namecheap.com, Namecheap.com.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there is The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, Rockoids.com.
Anytime, any place, anywhere. Radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Would you like to get back that full head of hair from years past? Now, there is Reveal. Beverly Hills celebrity dermatologist Dr. Nathan Newman took nearly a decade to develop Reveal from natural botanicals to return to a full body head of hair. Reveal for men and women with a 30-day money-back guarantee at GCNLife.com or toll-free 844-443-6637. 844-443-6637. Reveal at GCNLife.com.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with Reputation Defender. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with Reputation Defender. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771 for your free reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with Reputation Defender. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771.
Message and data rates may apply. Individual results vary. Exclusions apply.
Contacts and glasses are such a hassle. I'd love to finally get LASIK, but...
I'm going
to
stop you right there. If you want LASIK, then the LASIK Vision Institute has officially taken away everything standing in your way.
Isn't LASIK expensive?
Not at the LASIK Vision Institute. We're offering dramatically low prices and an absolutely free consultation. See for free if LASIK is right for you by texting DO88 to 350-350.
But I'm really busy.
A text only takes seconds, and the LASIK procedure typically only takes 15 minutes. And best of all, most patients can get back to work the following day.
I had no idea.
The LASIK Vision Institute uses the latest FDA-approved LASIK technology that helps the majority of patients achieve 20/20 vision. We've performed over 1.3 million procedures. That's experience you can trust. And we're offering 20% off our already low-cost services.
What's that text again?
Text DO88 to 350-350. That's DO88 to 350-350 to schedule your free consultation today.
This is Being the Merciless. You are listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio, exactly according to my plan.
Of course, Morgan, the big problem with the TV reality shows is it's 42 and a half minutes plus ads, and everything has to be resolved in 42 and a half minutes unless they continue it to another episode. So they got to have success.
Exactly. And that's the formula that they have right now for a lot of these shows is just not realistic, you know, because if you're trying to get these people to either change how they're living or change their lifestyle or, you know, deal with a problem that's been going on in a family for a really long time, and to go in there for 24 hours and expect that to all happen is unrealistic. And it's unrealistic to expect to catch phenomenon within that amount of time. So I think that's when we end up getting this problem of these TV shows, you know, starting out with the right intentions and then beginning to fake encounters or set up, you know, these scripted scenarios.
Right. See, there you just said it. And we've heard of this going on, so we've got some bad actors out there in the field, and, you know, what do we do about that?
Well, it comes down really at this point, you know, to the individuals watching. I mean, they have to be able to understand that a lot of these shows, they're looking for the end result, which is, you know, to turn over a product. It is entertainment for the audience. So being able to sort of pick through that, you have to be really careful because ultimately, you know, you really can't invest, you know, all of the belief in what you're seeing because you just, you know, you don't know how much of it is literally just something that they've created or they've taken somebody's true story and twisted it in order to make it more exciting for the audience. And that's something that happens all the time in television as well, where, you know, later on you hear these people that have submitted their story and they watch it on TV and then they go, that's not what happened to me at all. That's not what I told you.
Oh, yeah. Lots of people, virtually anyone who's been involved with television has said the same thing, that they've experienced something similar.
Yeah, it's really a problem because you get these shows that, you know, want these people to sign their life away in terms of, you know, well, you're giving us license to, you know, reproduce your story. And then they turn around and they take that story and they put their own twist on it. And it's like, I remember, you know, early on with different contracts that I've had, you know, I've turned around and said to people, like, you guys have an opportunity to present a story and present to give these people a voice and to give this subject matter a voice that can be very credible and it can change the way people look at this phenomenon. So it's really important for, I think, producers, and directors and things like that to, you know, put down the shock value that they seem to want to get out of it and actually start investing in stories that, you know, it doesn't have to have a shock value to be entertaining. People are fascinated by this phenomenon and they already know that half the stuff they're watching isn't real. So it's like, why not give them something very, you know, something real and tangible? A show that I loved back in the day was Sightings, when it was still on, with Linda Moulton Howe producing and Tim White as the host, because it gave this journalistic approach into the most fascinating phenomenon. It was great.
Yeah, I liked Sightings, actually. I think I've got one of their DVD sets. There's some pretty interesting stuff there. So how much influence do you have with the television shows? Like, say someone approached you and said, look, I had this experience. If your crew was to take it on, would they get represented accurately in the way that you would like to see it be done? Or after it's all, you know, in the can, does it go off to somebody else who produces it in whatever way they want?
The way our shows end up working, at least the two that I'm involved with right now, is basically people like Richard and I will get sent the cases and the interviews. And when we come in, we're basing all our opinions based off of what we've been given case-wise and what we've been given to read in terms of the person being interviewed and things like that and the backstories and whatnot. So we never get to see the final product until it's on TV. So we're basing all of it on the individual's statements to the producers and the past interviews and things like that. But in terms of the production as to what happens during the story, we don't get any of that until you guys see it on television later.
Well, have you been pretty happy with it in terms of how accurately they've portrayed things and the job that they've done with the end result?
What I like about these shows too is like the production value is quite high, and the reenactments are really quite good. I haven't heard anybody's complaints yet that, you know, there's been anything misconstrued or anything like that, but which is really good. My investment in a lot of these programs is I want to make sure that, you know, what's being shared is accurate and, you know, is representative of something that actually went on. So it's a high priority for me, but I haven't heard any complaints from case studies yet. So that's good.
That's very encouraging. So, and it fits with the teaching the living theme too. Now let's talk a little bit more about that. You actually go out and do investigations and meet with people in the real world that separate from the show. And it's my understanding that your goal in that is to help those people cope with whatever is happening to them. Can you tell us a bit about how that works and maybe give us a couple of cases?
Sure, yeah. With Teaching the Living, the main objective is to figure out exactly, first of all, what's going on. I mean, we're always looking to search out the natural explanations for things as best as we can. And I typically bring on, you know, professional audio video team and social workers and psychologists and all sorts of different individuals to make sure that we're getting the best picture of people as possible and profiling the family as best we can. We get very involved with understanding the dynamics of the family, what's going on, how they operate, what's their day-to-day routine, so that we can start to see where the patterns are, when the phenomenon's showing up, what's it like, is there violence, is there, you know, what exactly is going on, and then to start to work with them to try to break some of their own patterns, because we find that there's always a correlation between something that's going on with the family in the house and the way the individuals are and the activity that they're experiencing. So one case for us that was actually, it was about a year and a half ago now, I guess. And it was really interesting. It was a young woman who had phoned us, and her and her husband were having a terrible time with something in their house that was attacking both the mom and being very protective over the little boy's room. And the little boy was about three. And it got to the point where, the wife was getting physically injured, physically attacked, and the little boy was getting very much intimidated and it finally ended up attacking the little boy as well. And the husband ended up in this tug of war between the entity, their son, and himself. And so it got just right out of control. They were basically sleeping in their van at this point. But when we started to diagnose and we started to talk to the woman about the situation, you know, she kept saying, no, everything's good. You know, my husband's great. My kid's great. Everything's fine. Nothing's happened to me in my past. Everything's just shut it down completely. And then finally she admitted that she was, she had just recently left, an extremely abusive relationship, and her new husband was great. He was, you know, 100%. But the guy that she had been with prior was extremely physically abusive, very mentally abusive. And she had done none of the healing from that relationship. And she moved into this new situation with this new house. And her history was literally replaying itself, and she hadn't connected it. And as we started to talk to her, we said, you know, like, look, what have you done to heal that emotional damage? And she basically was, you know, shut the idea down. Well, I don't believe in psychologists, and, you know, I don't believe in therapy, and I don't do that. And it wasn't until she actually committed to start to heal some of that emotional stuff that the phenomenon started to dissipate. But, you know, if that was a great situation or a great scenario to give the example of, you know, we really do manifest in our space a mirror of where we are.
I mean, are we talking about some kind of a tulpa here or something like that? I mean, this is really quite interesting. That's a very interesting story, but there was quite a few things that we went through there. Like when you said like a tug of war, like, were you speaking figuratively or were you actually talking about something that could connect with people physically and influence how they move or something?
Yeah, exactly. It was actual physical attacks that were happening, which happens in some of these cases. You know, and it was, that's the incident that scared them enough that they ended up seeking out help, which basically out of fear at that point. The husband, interestingly enough, did not have the same level of violent interaction with the intelligence in the space that the wife was having. And I think it was because he just didn't have the same amount of that emotional baggage that he was bringing in.
We have more emotional baggage to bring in. With Gene Morgan, Randall, you're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
We also have swag. You know, we have all these exclusive Paracast things that you can buy. We've got like, I guess, 60 or so different items, and entails t-shirts, sleeves for notebook computers, iPad cases, mouse pads, the Paracast jumbo tote bag, all sorts of t-shirts and jackets and stuff like that for men and women. We have a Paracast aluminum water bottle. All this stuff, you go to store.theparacast.com, store.theparacast.com. What makes it special is that the items are the best quality, you know, great t-shirts, fabrics, and they have our official logo on them. That's what makes them special, in multiple sizes and colors. We even have stuff for children, stuff for women, stuff for men. We have all sorts of sizes, like small up to X large. A lot of good stuff. That's the swag from the Paracast. You go to store.theparacast.com, stop by, and take a shopping tour.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of My Pillow, and like all of you out there, I have problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented My Pillow, I wanted it to where you can move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. My Pillow will get you into that deep REM sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry my pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of my pillows and get one absolutely free.
Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-870-0305 and use promo code GCN. That's MyPillow.com or 800-870-0305 with promo code GCN.